We've been talking about what I call calm and confident, the place of God, the place of a warrior. Did you know a warrior can be calm and confident? Just because they're in battle doesn't mean that they're all shook up. Matter of fact, the greatest warriors are those that are very focused, very calm, very confident in their training, confident in their objective, and they don't have time to worry. Amen. They have an objective. We've been talking about the power of peace, how that that brings us into a place and a position with God, the strength that comes out of that. It's not just a tranquil state. You can be peace. The power of peace does not mean there's an absence of passion or an absence of activity, or it means there's an absence of conflict. Yeah. Conflict is what disrupts peace. You can be in the middle of chaos and still not be at conflict in your own heart and not have chaos inside of you. It's that place of where there's a flow and there's not a conflict in your heart. So we've been talking about that, and I've enjoyed preaching on it, ministering on it. I've been practicing it. And the thing that God's been really bringing into my spirit lately is something that I've preached around this and stuff for years, but never could really get a good grasp on it. And last week, I started preaching on spiritual prosperity, and Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart that there are three levels of prosperity. Now, most of the prosperity teaching you hear today is finances. Every time you talk about prosperity, everybody goes to money. Money is the least of everything. The Bible, Jesus said that money is the least of everything. And so the three levels of prosperity, the number one is spiritual fullness. To be spiritually full is the greatest prosperity that you can ever have. The third level is financial provision. But financial prosperity is important, but it's not the most important. It is a tool, and it's not to be sought at. Matter of fact, Jesus said you cannot worship God in mammon. Mammon was a deity, a spiritual deity that was worshipped, and it represented all of anything that had to do with the ability to purchase. It's all important, but it's not the most important thing. Is to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I want to talk a little bit more today about our position with God. We're gonna start talking about that confident position. There's nothing like being confident in who you are. I'm not talking about arrogance. Have you ever been around people that are arrogant? They always had to be better than everybody else. You know, they always had to somehow, you know, get better, and they felt that they were better, and things like that. And it's hard to deal with people like that. I was working the other day down at the dock, and the boss had asked me to change some things on this one slip, and the owner showed up, and I changed the electrical, and they started saying, well, he said that you would do this. He said that you'd do this. He said that you'd do this. Just started naming this stuff off. And I said, well, you know, he hadn't told me anything about it. I don't know anything about that. I don't know who he has passed that along to get that done. And just the attitude from this guy was, well, you're the servant around here. Do it. You know, that's just kind of the attitude that he, and, you know, I don't deal well with people like that. And so I turned around and just started walking off the dock because I was thinking, I've got to get away from here so that my mouth does not open. You know what I'm talking about? I don't deal well with arrogant people that you know, won't, you know, feel like they're way up above everybody else, you know. And so I just started walking off, and I went and thought about it a minute. I thought, well, you know, if the owner told him that you know, somebody would do that for him, then I'm going to go back and do it for him. And I went back and took care of everything that they said to, you know, somebody was going to do. And I did that because I had to go from my personality to my position. So often we work in our personality and forget we have a position. See? One of the things was that I represented the company. And so that was my position. The other thing was, I'm a child of God. I represent God. That's my position. And if I'm secure in my position, then the rest of it doesn't matter. You know, I was able to just kind of deal with that real fast. And the husband was the one that was like that. And when I started doing everything, the wife actually jumped in and started trying to help me with it, you know, and stuff. I think she kind of noticed that there was, that he had, anyway. But confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is having no confusion in your own mind about who you are and what you've been given to do and what your qualities are. If you understand what God has blessed you to do, you can be confident in that. Amen. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, a lot of people thought that he was just way too confident because he knew who he was. And he had a statement that a lot of people didn't understand, and he said, people would say, well, we're waiting on the move of God, and Smith Wigglesworth said, well, if he doesn't move, I'll move him. And a lot of people thought that as being really arrogant, but it wasn't. It was Smith understood who he was, and he knew what his position with God was, and he knew that if he put a demand on the faith that God had given him, that things would start happening. See what I'm talking about? It wasn't about arrogance. It was about the fact that Smith Wigglesworth knew that he didn't have to go find God somewhere. He knew God lived in him. He walked with him. He talked with him. He knew him intimately all the time, 24 hours a day. Matter of fact, somebody asked him one time, said, how long do you pray when you pray? And Smith Wigglesworth said, oh, I usually don't pray more than 15 minutes. And they was, you know, taken back. This great man of God only prayed. He said, but I never go 15 minutes without praying. You understand what I'm talking about? There was constant conversation. And so it wasn't the fact that he was arrogant or thought that he controlled God. It's that he walked with him. And so he knew what God was about. He knew what God called him to do. And he knew that all he had to do is step forward and God was right there with him. Amen. Let's go in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 again. I've been using this as a text lately. It says, May grace, this Amplified Classic Version, may grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears, and agitating passions, and moral conflicts. And you thought peace was just one word. Be multiplied to you. Everybody say, let it be multiplied to me. Now, all the things that we just mentioned is in the description of what peace means. And then he said, let it be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let's read that one more time. In the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. If we don't understand, if we don't spend time getting to know the Lord, we're not going to know what we have. We don't know. We won't know who we are. We don't know how we stand. Next verse says, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things. Everybody say all things. That are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Everything that you need for this life has been given to you by the power of Jesus Christ. It's been supplied. Praise God. It's not going to be supplied. It has been supplied. A lot of times we are waiting on God to do something when God has already done something. Amen. We just wait. Well, I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure. Why is it that when the devil talks to us, we immediately believe him, but when God talks to us, we question him and want five different manifestations to confirm it was God? because we don't know him. We don't know his voice. You know, we're not sure. And when God speaks to us, it's usually about stuff that we don't feel like we can do. And so, you know, we want God to confirm it. God, if this is you, you know, if this is you, God, if you're the one telling me to pray for that person, give me a confirmation. When has the devil ever told you to pray for somebody? He doesn't. You understand what I'm talking about. But to know him, the correct and precise knowledge of who the Lord is. When we understand who he is, we begin to understand who we are, because once you become one in the Spirit, there's no difference in the two. His divine power has given us all things needed for life and godliness. Everything is needed that it is needed for life. It's not just talking about the few years we live on this earth. It's talking about his life in us, the things that we need for his life to be in us. Amen. The things that Paul talks about, a lot of people read Galatians 5 and 20 about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith. You know, they read all that and they think it's a job list. It's a task list. I've got to be this thing. I've got to do this. No, it's a list of blessing that has been put inside of you that can manifest in you if you just let the Holy Spirit manifest in you. It's not your job. It's you. It's what has been given to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not a description of how you're supposed to act. It's a description of who God is and who God is in you and what you actually have available to you on the inside of you. The most amazing love that could ever be lives inside of you, but we have to allow it to manifest in our lives. It all depends on whether we want to walk in personality or position. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. It says, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." I like the way the Amplified Classic Version puts that. Satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. I just don't know if God loves me. "Because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself." Remember what I was talking about? It's his life in us. "He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through the grace of God, we have been given a position in Christ Jesus to where we are literally seated with him in the same position that he occupies." And I don't know about you, but that excites me, because that's way above my position. That's way above who I am. It's way above anything that I could ever have. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly sphere, in the heavenly places. I have been granted, by the grace and mercy of God, I've been granted to take my position seated alongside Jesus. The book of Revelation says that we are called to the same level. We literally, in the Godhead, we sit in the same level as Jesus. That is beyond my imagination. We live so far under what God has given us that it's shameful. We don't take advantage. Why? Because we're always in personality instead of in position. I'm going to say that over and over and over because I want us to get it. It's not about your personality. It's about your position. Your position changes your personality. Amen. Have you ever heard somebody that when they talk on the phone, they sound completely different when they're talking to you? They put on their professional voice. Have you ever talked to somebody like that? You know, all of a sudden it's, yes, hello, this is Mr., you know. Or a DJ on the radio, you know, they talk totally different. Why? Because they're moving into their position, not their personality. They know what's needed, they know what that position requires, and they move into that position. Amen. I mean, if some of y'all talk to customers on the job like you talk to your wife or husband, you wouldn't have a job. Is that legal to say? Can I actually say that? You know? Why? Because you've relaxed into your personality instead of your position. I called my daughter-in-law the other day, and Israel answered the phone. And I was, you know, the kid sounds like a CEO of a business. And he answered his mom's phone, and I said, hey, buddy, I said, what are you doing? And he started in, he was going to be spending the weekend with us. And so he ended up, he started in talking to me about what we needed to do and why we need to do it and how it's going to be possible because of this and that. And he gave me the whole list to where I couldn't back out of what he was wanting me to do. I mean, he had it all lined out. And when he got all that taken care of, he said, do you need to speak with my mother? And I said, yes, I would like to speak with your mother. He said, well, she's not available right now. She's in the shower. But he said, let me go check and see if she would be able to talk to you. And I heard him knock on the door and say, Mom, Papa needs to speak with you. And she said, just a minute. And he gets back on the phone and said, she'll be available in just a minute. You need to hold on a few minutes. Just as, you know, it was like I was talking. And when Natalie got on the phone, I said, was I just talking to your personal assistant? She said, he's crazy. It's wild, isn't it? I said, yeah. I said, it's just, you know, it was like a businessman taking care of business. He was in his position. Why? Because he had a purpose. And that purpose was he needed to get Papa to understand what the agenda for the weekend was. And he didn't leave me any room to back out or change the subject. When we understand who we are, I mean, he understands that he is Papa's grandson. And so he feels that he has a special position there, and he doesn't mind manipulating that position. Sometimes he gets you to a certain place, and you realize that he has been leading you for the last hour to get you to the place where he wanted you to where he could get what he wanted to get, you know, and it's like, oh, my word, I've been played. And he's been doing this for the last hour, you know, specific, just leading me. I pray, God, give me wisdom with this guy, you know. I've got to have understanding. But when we understand our position, when we understand what God has given, he's given us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a position that we have God, not because of our goodness, but simply because we accepted Christ as our Savior, and he did all the work. He's the one that moved us into that position, and he's the one provided that position. And you say, well, only certain people get to be in that position. No, absolutely not. Everybody that accepts Christ is put in that position. It's just we don't understand it. We don't realize that it's available to us because we're always trying to get to God through our experiences and through our personality and through this world's view, and it's not in that. You can't get there by that. You have to get there by the revelation of the Word of God, where you just simply start accepting the fact that it doesn't matter who I used to be, this is who I am now. It doesn't matter what I used to be called, this is what I'm called now. Didn't matter what my title used to be, this is my title now. I stand here because Jesus has taken me and translated me out of darkness in the kingdom of the Son of His love, and He has put me in His position. He's put me in His place. It's not of any good that we've done. It's not of any special gift that we have. There are many, many gifts. All of us have different gifts. But that doesn't give you better qualifications than anybody else. Everyone is qualified by the blood of Jesus, and that's it. Only through the blood of Jesus do we come into the place where we are in Christ. And He said, He's because of His grace, because of His mercy, He has moved us into that place and let us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Ephesians 1:1-3, I quote this a lot. It says, "May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy to God be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has," past tense, "has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that's given by the Holy Spirit in the heavenly realm," in that position. Now, the problem most of us face is we are always looking up, trying to wishing that we could get in God's presence, that somehow we could just get in His presence. I got to tell you something. You need to start taking your position in Christ and start looking down and saying, "I am in His presence. I am here. This is where I live. This is where I abide." Amen. No matter what happens, we are in His presence. We belong to Him. He has the number of our days. It's God that determines when we go to heaven, unless we make some stupid decision. Then it's you. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, God took him home." No, they got impatient, tried to pass on a double line in a blind curve, and got hit head on by a car. It was not God that took him home. It was their impatience that took him home. Amen. Accidents happen, but a lot of times it's our, you know, I get angry at funerals when somebody dies of cancer and they start talking about God took him home. No, God didn't take him home. Cancer took him home. If God takes you home, then you're translated. Amen. You translate. But we've got a lot of enemies in this world that are always trying to get to us, trying to take us out. There's danger all around us. I was working the other day in the woods all by myself, and I was putting up a masthead on this big these big services on this pole that we're going to be wrecking out, and I had to put one masthead up where we're going to connect just going to be certain things left, and all these big services around there, all these big weatherheads, masthead wires everywhere, most of them was unhooked. And I was putting this thing up, 14 foot tall. I was down there doing it by myself. I realized that probably wasn't a good idea. But I was down there doing it myself. I got it up there. I got it set in the box, up on this pole, got it set in the box, and it's leaning over. Everything is cut off except one service, one thing. Everything else is cut off from the power. I grabbed hold, I needed to pull the masthead I was putting up, I needed to pull it back into the pole, so I grabbed hold of the conduit, the metal conduit over here, and I grabbed hold of my conduit and went to pull it, and all of a sudden it was like a truck hit me. I mean, literally, bam, just my arms and my chest and everything just went like that. I didn't have to worry about pulling it into the pole, it was there. And I was able to let go of it, and I stood there, and I thought, "Hey, I'm still here. That's neat." But it hurt. The rest of the day, my arms and my chest hurt so bad, I just went around just massaging my arms and my chest because it hit me so hard. But I was still there. We never could figure out where it come from. I got to wreck all that stuff out. There's something shorted out somewhere inside there that we can't see and can't find and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, God's got the number of our days. And I didn't do anything stupid. I was just working. And it wasn't supposed to happen. But it happened. But I'm still here. You see what I'm talking about? Randy, you see what I'm talking about, man? Man, you're here because God doesn't want you to leave yet. Amen. Randy's been in heart failure now for quite a while, and they can't figure out why. They can't figure out why he's in heart failure. His heart's just not working. But I got to tell you something, man, you belong to God. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you got to just simply accept that and grab hold of that again, because you've had some things knock you down and you've had some things knock you off your seat. You need to climb back up on that seat and say, this is who I am, this is where I stand, and this heart is my servant. It's here to serve you, man. How many years ago did that valve try to take you out? But you've been around here a long time. It shouldn't have worked that many years. Amen. You've been held at gunpoint. Told you to get on your knees, turn around and get on your knees. They're going to kill you, but they didn't kill you. They couldn't kill you because you belong to God. You belong, you have a position in God. Your body is your vehicle. It's your servant. I don't know, I'm sorry for picking on you, pointing you out today. Amen, but that, I'm telling you the truth. You belong to God. Your days belong to God. Your life belongs to God. This is who you are, and it's we need to go back and say, God, okay, this is who I am. I belong in you. Now, you need to get me on down the road. Amen. You need to get me fixed up here. Amen. I do not accept the fact that your heart is just going to give out and quit because you're not ready. It's not your time yet. You are still worth something to God. You understand what I'm talking about? Your life is still worth something to God. Amen. When this world tries to take us out, and God, but the presence of God is there. He tries to, this world will try to take us out. God will raise us back up. I've been there many times, and God has brought me back up out of a place where the world thought they had it done. The devil thought they had it done. But God is a resurrecting God. God is an empowering God. He is a God that has all things. All things. And he's made everything available to us. Everything available to us. It is ours. He has given us all things that are required for life and godliness right here, right now. Today is God has given it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. God has given it to you. He's not going to give it to you. He has given it to you. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." Everybody say forever. Forever. The Holy Spirit, I'll give you another comforter. The word another, there are two Greek words that have to do with the word another. One of them is heteros, which means another, but of different quality. It's like you have two things. You have one, and then you have another one, but they're not the same. They're not of the same quality. Another. And then there's the word allos. But the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, means another or a duplicate of the same quality. Now, one means that it can be another, but of lesser quality. But the other means that it can be a duplicate of something that is of the same quality. And when Jesus said here, "I will give you another comforter," he used the word allos, which means of the same quality. I am going to give you somebody that's going to walk with you, live with you, going to be with you the rest of your life that is of the same quality that I am. We did not get a lesser blessing. We didn't get a lesser anointing. We got the same anointing, the same power, the same life that Jesus was. He said the Holy Spirit is going to be of the same quality that I am. And he's coming to live inside of you, to be with you. And he is in Ephesians chapter 1, it says he is the guarantee of our inheritance. In other words, he's the one that has come to make sure we get this. Amen. The guarantee. He's a standby. He's an intercessor. He's a mediator. He is an empowerer. He's the very presence of God in our life that has come to represent who God is in us and make sure that we're able to walk in that. Oh, my goodness. If we can just learn to walk in the Spirit and the same as we live in the Spirit, if we can just learn to operate in who he is instead of who we are, then we begin to walk in the very things that Jesus had and walked in. He has blessed us with it. He's given it to us. He's promised us. But so much of the time, we feel distant from that. We feel like we're separated from. Feel like, you know, God only shows up on Sunday when we go to church. You know, I got to get in the anointing. I got to tell you something. You are in the anointing. No matter what happens, you are in the anointing. You're in the presence of God. You don't have to try to get in there. That's the problem. We're always, when a need comes up, we're trying to figure out where God is. We're trying to figure out how to get to God. How do I get my prayers answered? You don't have to worry about that if you're in a relationship with him, because he is right there right now talking to you, and he's ready to lead you and to guide you. If you're walking with him, you don't have to go find him. Amen. It's right now, right here. God's there. Hallelujah. I like something Bill Johnson does. I've tried to practice this. Pastor Bethel Church out in California, he said, I have tried to practice the presence of God all my life. And he says, sometimes I'll just be visiting with people. He said, we can be in a restaurant or something. And he said, all of a sudden I'll just stop and I say, do you just feel his presence? Right in the middle of everything. And a lot of times people look at him like, what he's trying to get people to understand is we don't come and visit the presence of God and then walk away. That's the way most church people are. That's the way most Christians are, is we visit the presence of God and then we walk away until the next time we go visit the presence of God. That's not what God wants. God wants you to walk with him. He wants to be a part of your life every single day of your life. He wants to help you with the challenges you have. Amen. He wants to help you with the things that are presenting themselves in your life. You know, I have so enjoyed this week. Many days before I go to work, if I've got some time, not a demand on me, I'll come by the church here and I'll just spend time before I head out. I'll just spend time in the presence of God and praying. And I have enjoyed so much just praying over those three levels of prosperity this week. It's just like God has just ignited that in my heart. And I just try to soar right to the top. Spiritual fullness. God, I just want your spiritual fullness. The rest of this stuff is needed and great and all that, but I want that spiritual fullness. I want to walk in your presence. Amen. The other day I was here and I was just praying in the Spirit of God. And just, oh man, it's good. But I knew I had to get to work and get some things done. They don't tell me when I have to be at work. I just know what I need to get done. And I show up when I want to and come home when I want to. But the problem is I have such a sense of responsibility. Anyway, I'm the hardest boss I ever worked for. I kept thinking, I got to get down there. Nobody was telling me I need to get down there, but I knew I had to get down there. And so I was just in the presence of God, and finally I thought, well, I got to get out of here. Man, I was enjoying just praying in the Spirit. And I got in my pickup, took off, and I just prayed in the Spirit all the way to work and just having an awesome time. waving at all those people that was mad and angry and trying to cut me off and all, you know, just and just having an awesome time. And I get to work, and the first person I come in contact with, all of a sudden I realized I was still speaking in tongues. I had to change my language because I was still in that mode, you know. We almost needed an interpreter. But you don't have to just visit. You can understand that He is present with you right now. Amen. Confidence does not come from thinking well of yourself. Confidence comes from knowing the position you occupy. Jesus says, I'm going to give you somebody that is just like me. The same quality. Everything. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Amen. Riches, wealth of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within you and among you, the hope and the realizing of the glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Realizing the glory of God inside of you. Christ in you. Hallelujah. Christ in you. Praise God. You don't have to give God your pedigree and He determine what degree of His Spirit He's going to give you according to your pedigree. No. He doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care what you, the fact that you were born of flesh makes you a candidate to be born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. Amen. So you can be filled with His presence, filled with His Spirit, and operate. It's not that difficult to operate in the things of God. Amen. Matter of fact, since I've been praying this, I've got a new hope inside of me that we are going to see a manifested outpouring of the presence of God in our day. We're going to see it with our eyes. In prayer last Sunday night, Sister Rhonda was here, and I kept looking at her saying, we're going to see it with our eyes. Amen. It's not going to be somebody else. It's going to be us. We're going to see it with our eyes. Amen. We're going to see the good things of God with our eyes. We're going to see the manifested presence of God pulling at the hearts and lives of people with our eyes. Amen. We're going to see the transformations take place with our eyes. Amen. How many know we need that? I'm tired of seeing the devil in this world just savagely destroy people. When I know there's a power greater than this world. There's a power greater than the enemy of our souls. Amen. And He's able to transform. Transform. Amen. Transform. A lot of us spend all our time trying to conform. But you can't do that until you are transformed. You got to have the empowerment inside of you to be able to conform to the presence of God. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many would like to spend a whole lot less time trying to convince somebody and a whole lot more time just demonstrating? Amen. Todd White was asked to come to a school and be a part of a religious debate where they were going to have people of different religions come in and debate the qualities of their religion. And Todd White, I believe, as the story goes, followed an atheist that went in and presented, you know, the atheist belief. And so when he went in, never heard of Todd White. He's an evangelist that just mostly works on the streets. And he doesn't go and try to convince people of Jesus. He goes and just ministers to them, heals them, and they accept the Lord because they had an encounter with God. And so he goes into the school and this classroom, and he's following the atheist person. And a lot of the kids in there claim to be atheists. And he went in there and instead, and he told them, thank you for allowing me to come. You know, it's a joy, and, you know, I'm excited about being able to share the gospel of Jesus. And instead of starting a debate, he just looks over at this one young lady and started saying, telling her what was wrong with her. And isn't that right? Yeah. And so he prayed for her right there in front of everybody. She received, and different ones, and by the, he never did debate or try to present the argument of Christianity. He just simply started ministering to people, and by the end of the class, everybody was saying, yay, Jesus. Because they didn't get an argument. They didn't get convinced by an argument. They got convinced because he just simply went in there and started being who he was. He went in his position. Praise God. We've got to start distinguishing between our personality and our position. Our personality we got from a mixture of many generations on both sides of our family. When a child is born, I always tell the parents, I say, look, that child is three parts. One part dad's family, one part mom's family, and one part that has never existed before. And both of you will scratch your head one day and say, where did that come from? So our personality comes from a mixture of a lot of different things. But our position and the character comes from one. And all of us share from that one person. Are all can trace their, they have a connection to somebody from Scandinavia. Everybody that has blue eyes carry the same DNA from that same family. And it just goes down through the generations. And so if you got blue eyes, you're somehow connected, that you're related to anybody else that has blue eyes because y'all come from that same area somehow. Amen. That just kind of makes everybody, you know, makes you feel like you belong somewhere. I've been wanting to try that, you know, that DNA thing where they tell you where you're from. I'm almost afraid to. We're Heinz 57. I mean, you know. But I know where my heritage comes from in my new birth. Comes from one place. And that's the thing every one of us have in common is the new birth. Every one of us have received from that same inheritance. No matter who we are, where we come from, when you come to Jesus, you receive that same spiritual impartation. Praise God. And that's why we find that common link. No matter where I go in the world, I feel a common ground with Christians. No matter, even if we can't communicate, there's just that, you know, it's like we belong together. No matter where I'm at, when I go to minister in any country, when I'm around Christian people, I feel just absolutely comfortable. I belong here, you know, because we have that one commonality, that inheritance. Praise God. I'm going to stop right there. I can go a lot further. Praise God. Some of you said, give me more, and I heard at least one person say, oh, thank you, Jesus. There's more available to us than what we think we have available to us. A lot of times when we start talking about the things of God, a lot of people immediately go back to, well, I am, or I can't, or I have this, or I don't have that, or that's the problem. We constantly go back to our personalities. But when we move into God, it's not about who we are, what we can do. It's about the fact that we have somebody living inside of us that can do anything. He can do all things, and he does it all really, really good. I mean, Holy Spirit is really good at what he does. So if you yield the Holy Spirit, you're going to be really good at what you do. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me today if you would. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There's nothing like being convinced of something. When you're convinced of something, the debate's over with. It's gone. It's done. And when you're convinced that you belong to God, all the debate and wonder is over with. It's done. I know that I belong to God. Amen. Because the Word of God tells me that I belong to Him. Amen. That's the number one authority in my life. The second way I know I belong to Him is because He's just there. I walk with Him, talk with Him. Awesome. Best friend you could ever have. I mean, absolute best friend. If you think you don't have a really good friend, you're wrong, because Holy Spirit's the best friend you could ever have. He'll teach you. He'll talk to you. He'll explain things to you. There's times I've had Holy Spirit just, it's like we just sit down and talk, and He explains things to me. Helps me to understand. Helps me to get hold of it, you know, and clears the air. What an awesome friend. Father, I thank you that you've given us a friend. I thank you, God, for the fact that you have ordained not only our lives, you've ordained this day. God, you've ordained this day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, for each person in this house. Lord, I ask you to establish your truth, Lord God, a precise knowledge of who you are in their life, Lord. I just give you praise for that. Thank you, Father. God, I give you praise for it. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.